This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why, like you, he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers, all so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers, all so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Good afternoon. Will you introduce yourself to the jury and spell your name for the court reporter, please?
Yes, my name is Mary Hull, M-A-R-Y-H-U-L-L.
Where do you currently work?
The Executive Office of the Governor in the Chief Inspector General's Office.
And where did you work when you first became involved in this case?
The Department of Financial Services in the Office of Fiscal Integrity.
And what was your role there and in your current job?
Currently, I'm an auditor in the position in DFS. I was a financial investigator.
All right. And were you a financial investigator with DFS back in the summer of 2016?
Yes.
Okay. As a financial investigator there, did you investigate economic crimes?
We did. It was a criminal investigative unit for the state of Florida.
And how long did you work in investigations there?
Investigations there, 7 years.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your education and your experience in order to be a financial investigator?
Sure. I hold a Bachelor of Science degree in finance from Florida State University. I'm a certified fraud examiner in good standing with the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners. I have 22 years of financial analysis, auditing, and financial investigative work for both the state of Florida and the United States Attorney's Office.
And has much of that 20 years been doing white-collar crime investigations?
10 years I did white-collar crime investigations to include money laundering, contract fraud, identity theft, and embezzlement.
Okay, and were these like multi-agency financial investigations for both state courts and federal?
There were several that were multi-agency investigations. I did both state and federal at the same time. But I also worked at the United States Attorney's Office for 3 years, and we did all criminal economic crime there.
And what's your specific area of expertise? Is it forensic accounting?
Yes, I do forensic accounting, which is a very detailed analysis of financial records to be used in court.
You mentioned that you're a certified fraud examiner. What does that mean?
You have to take special training to actually be certified to do financial crime.
And are you in good standing with the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners?
I am.
While a financial investigator, did you also receive in-service training?
I did. As a criminal investigator, additional training in search and seizure requirements, the handling of evidence, the chain of custody protocol, as well as witness interviewing techniques.
And have you ever testified in court about your analysis of financial records?
I have.
About how many times?
21 times in court.
Okay, those are all my questions asked to this witness's qualifications, Judge.
Friends wish to inquire the witness. Is there any objection to her ability to provide an opinion in the field of, I believe this is for
Forensic accounting.
Forensic accounting.
No objection.
members of the jury, the witness will be permitted to testify today in the area or provide an opinion in the field of forensic accounting while she testifies today. You may continue.
So you mentioned that you first became involved in this case when you were working for DFS back in 2016. What was your role? What was your responsibility?
So I looked at all of the bank records. Specifically was my first look at the records to analyze in detail everything that happened in those accounts.
You got this whole thing right in front
of you. Right. I did all the financial analysis for the bank records, as well as I did some iCloud records and emails and other documents that would come through DHSMV records.
Okay, so did you look at a lot of different records in this case to see if, to see what the banking habits were, whether there was any spike in cash, and whether there was any link between the parties?
Yes.
I want to ask you about, first, kind of go through several of the things you reviewed in this case, and then ask you questions about your review. Did you review States Exhibit 68, which is going to be the Adelson Institute's subpoena response?
Yes.
Okay. And that was in reference to Catherine Maganwa's employment?
It was.
And were those records from September of 2014 to 2016?
That sounds correct.
May of 2016, in fact.
Yes.
Okay. Did you also review States Exhibit 75, which is Dr. Rudner's records for a breast augmentation for Catherine McManawa?
I did.
Did you also review 76, State 76, which is Brower dermatology records for possible McManawa employment from there?
Yes.
Okay, and are those records from July of 2015 to March of 2016?
Yes.
Moving on to Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. Did you review State 69, which is going to be the records for the Lexus acquired by Catherine McManawa, and 77, 78, 79, and 80, which are vehicle and motorcycle records for Sigfredo Garcia and Luis Rivera?
I did.
Did you review bank accounts for the Adelson family?
I did.
Does that include accounts for Harvey Adelson, Donna Adelson, Wendy Adelson, and Charlie Adelson?
Yes.
And I won't go through all those accounts, but did you review checking and savings accounts for them, personal and professional accounts for them, as well as investment accounts?
That's correct.
And how many total investment accounts did you review?
I believe there was 24 total investment accounts.
Okay, so a lot of different accounts you reviewed for each person in the family.
Yes.
Okay. And were several of those accounts that more than one family member was on at the time?
Yes.
Did you also review credit cards for the Adelson family, specifically States 111 and a portion of those records, 111A, which are Capital One and Amex records for Charlie Adelson?
I did.
Did you also review States 110, which is Adelson Institute bank records from Regions Bank?
I did.
Did you also review States Exhibit 106, which is going to be a checking and savings account for Luis Rivera from Chase Bank from 2014 to 2015?
Yes.
Did you also review States 107, a Bank of America records from Garcia's account from 2015 to 2016?
Yes.
Did you also review State 74, which is employment records from Coastal Masonry for Sigfredo Garcia from 2009 to 2014?
Yes.
Did you also review States 108 A and B and 109 A and B, which are Bank of America accounts and JP Morgan Chase accounts, respectively, for Catherine McManawa from 2013 to 2017?
Yes.
Did you also review States 82, which are copies of 44 checks from Adelson Institute deposited into McManawa's bank account?
Yes.
Did you have an opportunity before court today, so you didn't have to do it now, to review all those records that we just talked about, just to assure yourself that they were the same as the one you reviewed?
Yes.
Okay, and did all of those records that you reviewed come with a certification attached to them, certifying them to be official records from each respective company or business?
Yes.
At this time, Judge, I would enter into evidence states 68, 75, 76, 69, 77 through 80, 106, 107, 108 A and B, 109 A and B, 110, 74, and 82.
Any objection to the items being offered?
Just real quick, Judge.
Go ahead.
Do you have a clerk please to go through the item numbers one more time, please?
Sure. So we're going to have 69.
Once again, please turn the phones off or turn the sound off. I don't expect to hear any phones in this courtroom. You may continue, Ms. Dugan.
68, 69, 74 through 81, 82. I'm sorry, let's hold off on 81. So 74 through 80, 82, 106 through 111A.
Spolzer, does the defense have an objection to the items being admitted?
I got out of number order.
The item numbers are admitted, as previously stated, with the exception of states 81. You may continue.
Thank you. Did you also review, you mentioned iCloud as far as written communications, whether that be emails or text messages between the parties, to determine the financial relationship between them or whether there are any money or gift transfers between them?
I did.
Okay, and did you also review those items to determine how the Adelson family received or kept their cash?
Yes.
All of the records that we talked about this today so far, is the amount of data in all of those records pretty voluminous?
Yes.
Are you going to be relying on a summary of all of the records that you've reviewed today for your testimony?
I am.
Okay, and did you review before court today, this notebook states 81, which is a summary of your findings from all the records that you reviewed?
Yes.
And is it a true and accurate copy of your of the results from your findings?
Yes, it is.
Okay. At this time, Judge, I would move State's Exhibit 81 into evidence as a summary.
Any objection?
Yeah, I can just look up the
picture. Go ahead. Yes. State's Exhibit 1 is admitted at this time.
Thank you. And just for the record, that's going to be a composite exhibit. Now, in this composite states 81, for each of the graphs that we see that were created, after each graph, is there also information from the accounts kind of showing your work of how you made those findings?
Yes.
Okay. And is there a PowerPoint that's been created showing the graphs in the case that report your results?
Yes.
All right. Judge, I'd ask for permission to use a demonstrative in this case, which is going to be a demonstrative of parts of the records and the witness and the witness's graphs in this case.
You may proceed.
Okay. Now, the graphs that we see, we're not going to see portions of the records in the notebook on the PowerPoint, right?
Yes.
Okay. But those portions are in the notebook. If the jury wants to review them in the jury room, they're there for each graph.
Yes.
Which is what I'm saying is the portion that's kind of showing your work for each graph.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you know that one of the set of records that you looked at was Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicle records for some of these subjects. Did you review the Department of Highway and Safety Motor Vehicle records for Luis Rivera?
I did.
And what, if any, vehicles did Rivera acquire after the murder of Dan Markell on July 18th of 2014?
He purchased a 2003 Suzuki motorcycle on July 28th, 2014, and a 1996 Toyota Camry on July 31st, 2014.
And here are these pictures from the social media records in this case of Luis Rivera and Garcia on motorcycles?
Yes, it is.
And the one that Rivera is on the yellow motorcycle?
Yes.
Looking at Luis Rivera's bank accounts in this case, the Chase bank account from May 2014 to November of 2015, were his checks from his workplace direct deposited into that account?
They were.
About how much was direct deposited every week?
Every week was about $500 or $600.
And where were his paychecks coming from?
Coastal Masonry.
So he had a steady job at Coastal Masonry throughout the time of the time that you reviewed his bank records for, in 2014 and 2015?
Yes.
What did you learn about how his banking patterns or banking habits changed following the murder of Dan Markell?
Yeah, he had a very interesting banking pattern. All his bank checks were deposited into his account, but then he would go by and withdraw virtually all of it. And he had certain preset auto drafts that would come in, and then they would bounce because it wouldn't be any money in the account. So he had a lot of overdraft charges.
And how did that change after the murder of Dan Markell?
Right after the murder, he all of a sudden left the money in the account, and then nothing overdrafted for about 4 months.
When was his last large cash withdrawal before the murder of Dan Markell?
It was 7/15/2014.
And when did, and you said it was about 4 months then, that his old habits of...
Yeah, the next overdraft didn't happen until November 1st of 2014.
And what do we see here?
So this is a visual depiction of his bank account showing the overdrafts. The red bars are the overdraft amounts that happens, the number, on the specific days. And then you can see that big wide span in the middle where there's no red bars. And then it picks back up in the first part of November. I will add that even though it's not on this chart, that the car and the motorcycle was purchased in that section where there were no overdrafts.
So in the same section where there's no overdraft, he's also acquiring those vehicles, and he doesn't have any overdrafts from the time of the murder until about 4 months later.
That's correct.
And could that be indicative of him having another source of cash during that time?
Yes.
All right, moving on to Sigfredo Garcia. Tell us what you saw when you looked at the DHS-MV records for Garcia.
Yes, he purchased a 1997 Honda Racer on July 26, 2014, a 1984 Monte Carlo on August 22, 2014, and a Nissan Maxima on October 17, 2014.
Okay, so we didn't find a picture of the Maxima, but that's kind of how a Maxima of that style would look here?
Yes, it was a sedan.
Okay, and then the Monte Carlo is on the two-toe Dade account here?
Yes, that's correct, in blue.
Okay, and then we see his yellow motorcycle all the way to the right of the screen?
Yes.
And so those were all purchased within 3 months of the murder?
That's correct.
And can you tell us about Garcia's bank accounts?
There was not a bank account located during the time or shortly after the murder. He did have one from June 15th to July 16th.
Okay, so from June of 2015 to July 2016, he established a bank account and maintained it?
Yes.
All right, and during that time, was he having paychecks being direct deposited into that account?
Yes.
From what company?
He was employed at Rapid Capital Funding at that time.
Okay. But before of June 2015, there were no bank records that we could find to review for Garcia?
There was no account located for him.
All right. And did he work regularly in 2014, around the time of the murder?
Actually, his employment record, at least with Coastal Masonry, was very sporadic. He worked 2 months from February of 9 to December of 2009. In April 2010 to July 2010, he worked 3 months. October from 2012 to August of 2013, he worked 10 months. In April of 14, he worked 1 month.
Okay, and we have no record of him being employed at the time of the murder.
No.
So both Luis Garcia and Luis Rivera and Garcia both worked for Coastal Masonry. Rivera's job was consistent and steady, Garcia's was more sporadic.
Correct.
All right. For Catherine McVanois, does she already own a car according to the DHSMV records at the time of the murder?
She did.
And what type of car was that?
That was
here. I might be able to show you something to help move it along.
Sorry.
You're having trouble finding it.
Yeah.
When you were viewing the messages in this case, did you find some evidence that Charlie Adelson helped her financially with a car that she had in 2014?
Yes.
Okay, and was that car, in these messages, did they refer to this car as her needing to get it fixed, the parts alone are expensive, and she's asking, "I need a loan, buddy," frowny face?
That's correct.
Okay, and does she say, you know, just imagine if I took it to another mechanic?
Yes.
All right, did Charlie Adelson in the messages have a mechanic that was a friend of his that he would refer people, especially Catherine McVanois, to?
He did.
And was that person named Sully?
Yes, it was.
And does Charlie Adelson then respond, LOL, you'll be fine, I got you, I just texted Sully my CC?
That's correct.
And she says, stop paying for S word, she misspells it, on your card?
Yes.
And this was in November of 2014?
It is.
Okay. So he's offering to give her the loan she wants and is texting Sully what appears to be his credit card number.
That's correct.
All right. In May of 2015, are they still discussing her car repairs?
Yes, they are. It says it's a Mazda.
Okay. So in this one, she needs her time. He says, you need your belt changed. Just bring it to Mazda, and does he offer to take care of it for her?
Yes.
And she's saying, yes, she needs to take it ASAP?
Yes.
And what do we see here in November of 2015?
This is a text message about him paying for the repairs for that car.
Okay. And in this exchange, Charlie Adelson is continuing to offer to put these repairs on his credit card?
Yes.
And this is Charlie Adelson words in blue and Catherine McVanois words in green?
That's correct.
And at the end of that conversation, does Catherine McVanois let Charlie Adelson know how much the repairs ended up being?
Yes.
And what was the amount?
$1,650.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm on the next page. I think you are correct at the bottom of that.
That's what he authorized to put on his card. But the actual payment was for $1,620.77.
Okay, thank you. So looking at the bottom of this exchange, Catherine McVanois estimates, she says, just put $1,630. And Charlie Adelson offers, how about I put $1,650?
Yes.
So he offers, I'll even pay $30 more.
Yes.
And then she says it came out to $1,620. She says, thanks again, I'll pay you back. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then when you looked at Charlie Adelson's Amex, what did you find?
I found the payment to Mazda for the $1,620.77.
At the end of 2015, after all these repairs and Charlie Adelson offering to help her financially with these repairs, at the end of 2015, does it appear that Catherine McVanois got a different car?
She did.
And what's the first indication of that?
There was the title. We looked up for the DHSMV records and saw where it was purchased.
Okay. Were there also messages where they discuss basically her having the Lexus now, Charlie Adelson needs to cancel his insurance on the Lexus?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, can you go through what we see here?
This is where he's discussing on December 14, 2015, that she needs, he's canceling the Lexus insurance. And she said she would get to it. She has the kids, she would do it later. And then he says, I just paid for it.
Okay. And in these messages, when he says he's going to cancel the Lexus insurance today on December 14th of 2015, does he say, just spoke to my mom, she's paying the insurance now, just please go this Saturday, smiley face?
Yes.
And that's when she's saying, I'll do it, I've got my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
then
ma'am.
Does Charlie Adelson then say, just paid it, they'll prorate it back to us, just go Saturday, don't rush today? And she's saying, I'll take care of it, don't worry.
Yes.
Does he say, already paid it 5 minutes ago, just chill, you are still the best?
That's correct.
You mentioned the DHS-MV records in this case. What do we see here?
This is showing that the title transfer between Harvey and Catherine.
And what date did this take place?
This says January 23rd, 2016. It's on the right-hand side.
Right here?
Yes, January 23rd, 2016.
Okay. And what type of vehicle was that?
That was a Lexus.
2001 Lexus?
Black four-door, that's correct.
And the previous owner is listed as Harvey Jerome Adelson?
Yes.
How much did the this DHS-MV title indicate that it was sold to Mag Banois for?
$1,700.
And that's there on the right side of the screen?
Yes.
Were you able to find any record of payment from Catherine Mag Banois to any of the Adelsons for this vehicle?
None.
Did you search all her accounts?
Yes.
Was there any check, or maybe she just withdrew that amount of cash? Was there any cash withdrawal for that amount?
Nothing that correlated.
Were you able to find any deposit into, let's say she already had that cash at home, any deposit into the Adelson's account for that amount?
No.
Was there, in a little while we'll see that she was receiving money from Adelson Institute, correct?
That's correct.
Was there any drop in the money she was receiving from Adelson Institute in that time to account for maybe this was just taken out of her salary?
No.
Can you insure a vehicle without transferring title?
No.
Do you have to put a sales price or list it as a gift on the title transfer?
That's correct.
If you say it's a sale on the title transfer, are you taxed?
Yes.
Is there a financial benefit for listing a really low sales price on a title transfer for a vehicle?
Yes, it makes the registration fees less.
And who decides what number goes on the title?
Normally, it's usually the seller that's supposed to put that on there, but all the transactions I've ever heard of, they just leave it blank and let the buyer put in the amount.
So just the person who's submitting it to the tax office so they can later get their car insurance?
That's correct.
So if I sell a car to you for $3,000, but we agree to put $300 on the title transfer, we would pay less taxes on it?
Yes.
Looking at other written communications between Charlie Adelson and Catherine Mag Banois, did it appear that Charlie Adelson provided other financial assistance or gifts to Catherine Mag Banois?
Yes.
What do we see here in Charlie Adelson's Amex records?
So this is a purchase of airline tickets for Catherine Mag Banois on March 6, 2015 for a flight to Santo Domingo, and that was $970.74.
And the passenger name is there at the bottom, Catherine Mag Banois?
Yes.
Okay, other than these $970 worth of airline tickets to Santo Domingo, were those there other evidence of financial assistance or gifts?
Yes, there was.
Looking here on October 19th of 2015.
This is a set of text messages from Catherine, between Catherine and Charlie. But she's asking for, she wants to take her kids. I'm sorry. You don't have to look up with plane tickets. I want to leave for Thanksgiving. I want to take my mom. It's her 60th on November 9th. And then he's discussing cruise options. She wants to take a trip with her mom.
Okay, so she wants to leave for Thanksgiving. She wants to take her mom too. It's her 60th birthday. And at the bottom he asks, where do you want to take your mom?
Correct. This is a continuation of the text messages where she says she wants to do something nice for her mom and she may have days off on Thanksgiving.
Does she offer the fact that maybe I'll rent an RV and drive cross country?
She does.
And then what does Charlie Adelson offer to do about halfway down this page?
To get her a cruise for her and her mom.
And she agrees, I was thinking about a cruise too?
Yes.
And then he discusses, perfect, they have really nice ones, y'all can leave on a Friday, go to two ports, come back on a Monday morning and you won't miss work?
That's correct.
Okay, and this is in October of 2015?
Yes.
And then does he continue to offer in that text message, I think it would be super cool for you to go with just you and your mom from Friday to Monday on a Norwegian cruise. It leaves Friday at 4, comes back Monday at 7. Does that work for you? Let's look at dates. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So in that exchange, Mabanua mentioned something she might want to do. Charlie Adelson is the one offering to do this.
Yes.
In this message from May of 2015, is Kathleen Mabanua saying she has a lot of things to pay for, she needs a little help because of her kids' tuition and stuff, and she had to stop her weekend job. She says, I hate asking.
That's right.
And he says, I will lend you whatever you need.
That's correct.
And then shortly after this text message exchange on May 20th, what do we see in the bank records?
We see an ATM cash deposit for $1,400 in the Catherine McDaniel's account.
And is that a large amount of cash for her to deposit? For her?
Yes.
These are some of the bigger items, but was there also, he would give her teeth whitening, he would give her, pay for meal plans for her, offer her rides in fancy cars, or her ability to lend or borrow fancy cars from him throughout these years?
Yes, he had a lot of supportive activity of her.
Looking at these records from Dr. Rudner's office, did Catherine Magbanua have a breast augmentation surgery in October of 2014?
She did.
And looking at this record here, how much was that breast augmentation surgery?
The total credit was $4,608.
Looking at the records, how was that paid? Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back. How was that paid? Was it paid by cash or credit card or both?
$4,400 was in cash, and then the $195 was on her credit card or debit card.
So what was the portion of that breast augmentation surgery that was paid in cash?
96%.
Are there corresponding withdrawals of cash from any of Catherine McDaniel's accounts to reach $4,400?
No.
Or even
$4,000? No.
Around that time or before that time?
No.
Did you actually add up all her cash withdrawals from January 2014 to October of 2014 and they only totaled a little over $2,000?
That's correct.
And what date was her surgery?
Surgery was, looks like it was July, it was October.
Of 2014?
2014. October 18th, 2014.
Okay. All right, now I want to focus on Mabanua's bank records. Based on the bank records and employment records that she reviewed, were you able to ascertain where Catherine Mabanua may have worked or what business she received income from her bank records?
I did.
And what do we see here? Can you walk us through this?
So from the summary of the bank records, I was able to show through her deposits, her checks, or employment that she had. So this is a schedule of bank records from 2013 to 2016 showing her employment deposits.
And at the bottom here, do we see the name of each business that she received income from and the dates that she received income from those businesses?
Yes.
All right. Quintana Lopez, we see her at the bottom. Was she a realtor?
She was.
And we see another name, Jerome R. Obed. Was he a dermatologist who is a friend and former roommate of Charlie Adelson?
He is, or was.
Okay. And when, according to this, when did she work for Adelson Institute?
The first deposit that hit her account was October 7th, 2014, and the last one was May 17th of 2016.
Okay. And that's when she received checks from Adelson Institute.
That's correct.
What do we have here?
So this shows the horizontal bars show her employment time frame, and then the murder and the bump are also showed on as a time frame.
When was her last check from Sophie Dental Care, the place, the dental company she was working at before the murder?
The first part of July of 2014.
Okay, and then she didn't have any more checks, or didn't receive any more checks from them after that point?
That's correct.
Was she, is there any record of her being employed anywhere at the time of the murder?
No.
And you said she began receiving checks from Adelson Institute about a little less than 3 months after the murder?
That's correct.
And she received checks from them until the last check was dated May of 2016?
That's correct.
Did she receive any checks from any other company anytime between the time of the murder and when she received checks from Adelson Institute?
No.
And is Adelson Institute the Adelson family's dental practice?
It is.
Was it a financially successful dental practice?
Yes.
In 2012, did Charlie Adelson become the listed manager of Adelson Institute?
Yes.
And then in 2015, did the articles of organization change from both Charlie and Harvey being listed managers?
Yes.
And what date was that in 2015?
October 2nd, 2015.
Okay. Now, even though Charlie was the manager beginning in 2012 to October of 2015, was Harvey Adelson still employed as a dentist at Adelson Institute?
He was.
And received checks from there?
Yes.
In 2016, in July of 2016, did it change to only Harvey being the listed manager and Charlie being a registered agent?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, throughout all those years, 2012 to 2016, did Donna Adelson have signing authority for the Adelson Institute?
She did.
And what does that mean?
She had the ability to move money without having someone else approve it.
Was there evidence from Charlie Adelson's iCloud in reference to how or why Meg Banua began receiving income from Adelson Institute?
Yes, she was saying that she needed to show employment to get not only health insurance for her kid, but an apartment that she wanted to rent.
Okay, so looking at this text, is this a text from June 24th of 2014?
It is.
So this is about maybe 3 to 4 weeks before the murder of Dan Martell?
That's correct.
And in this text, does she say, "Baby, I'm going to need help on the employment info. I have to send to DCF for my kids' INS, INS." Could that be short for insurance?
Insurance.
"Also, if I have to end up moving later on, I need to show I'm working for you or else I won't be able to get an apartment." Does she say that at 12:33 p.m.?
She did.
And what does he say back at 12:36?
"No problem."
No problem, short for no problem?
No problem.
Okay. And is this a time when his mother is signing authority there?
That's correct.
And he's manager?
Yes.
And his dad is a dentist there?
Yes.
Now, during this time, was that Charlie Adelson's only form of income? Did he also have income from his other work as a periodontist?
Yes.
Okay. Would he receive income from other dental practices where he would travel around and do specialized work for them?
Yes.
And was that a successful periodontist practice?
Very successful.
I want to ask you about this text message. She says she needs to employment to send the DCF for her kids' insurance or if she moves later on. In order to rent an apartment, do people sometimes have to show proof of employment?
Yes.
In order to get public assistance, health insurance, do people need to show they're employed, but they don't make above a certain amount of money?
That's correct.
Did you review checks from Adelson Institute to Catherine McDonald?
I did.
And in what accounts did you find those checks?
They were deposited into Catherine Emanuel's, sometimes in her checking, but a couple of times they went into her savings.
Okay, and they were coming out of Adelson Institute's business account with Regions?
Yes.
How many total checks were there from Adelson Institute to Catherine Emanuel?
There was 44 checks.
What do we see here?
This is a list of the checks that she received from the Adelson Institute.
Okay, so this is a summary of the checks.
It is.
Okay, but in evidence, as we went through earlier, all of this will be back there in case the jury wants to see specific things, but 682 is a copy back in front of every check. Here it is, that Catherine McDonald received from Adelson Institute?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, so in the summary here, what's included?
So it's the first row, just a number. The second column is a date. The date that it was posted to her bank account. The second column is a date of the check was written, and the check number, the payment amount, and what was in the memo column.
Were all of these checks deposited by Catherine McDonald into her account?
They were.
And who were each and every one of these checks signed
on? Donna Adelson was signing the checks.
Okay, are these examples of three of the checks in the exhibit?
It is.
Okay, but she signs all 44?
She does.
And you did say that she did have signing authority for the business during those years?
Yes.
In addition to signing these checks for McDonald, did Donna Adelson also sign all the other checks to the Adelson Institute employees, their front desk people, their hygienists, the dentists,
yes.
All of the people who work there?
Yes.
Was she the person who did payroll every month?
That's correct.
And looking back at the summary, you mentioned that Harvey Adelson was listed as manager again in October 2nd of 2015. Looking at this chart here, would that be just between number 26 and 27 there? At that point, he would become manager again?
Yes.
Okay, but all throughout the rest of the time he worked there?
Yes.
Okay, so about 3/4 of the second chart we see, Harvey Adelson was manager during that time.
That's right.
For all those checks that were written.
That's correct.
And for both of those charts, Donna Adelson had signing authority.
Yes.
Who else had signing authority at Adelson Institute when these 44 checks were written?
There would have been Charlie and Harvey
and her. When you reviewed the phone records in this case, did Donna Adelson manage more than just the money at Adelson Institute? Did she also manage a lot of personal details of Charlie Adelson's life?
Yes.
Would she often book his travel as far as his plane trips, his hotels, whenever he wanted to take a trip?
Yes.
Would she remind him regularly to pay this bill on time, pay that bill on time, transfer this amount of money to this account? She helped him with all of his money.
Yes.
Did she kind of run his life, so to speak, as far as helping him keep up with the details of all of his day-to-day needs?
Yes.
When was the first check issued to Catherine McDonald here, looking at the summary?
The first check that shows up in her account is October 8, 2014.
Okay, what was the date on the check, meaning the date that, you're assuming that's the date that it's written?
Right. So the date that was on the check was September 17th, 2014.
Okay, and was that almost 2 months to the day from the murder of Dan Markell?
It was.
Was that, I guess, about 3 months after she asked to be employed by Adelson Institute?
Yes.
And how often did Meg Vanwell receive checks from the Adelson Institute after that?
2 times a month for almost 2 years.
Looking at these checks, can you show us?
Do you have your clicker? I'll just
ask you. On the bottom right of each check where it says Donna Sue Adelson on these checks, is that the signature line?
It is.
Thank you. Checks are kind of becoming an ancient art form, so just in case we have any jurors who haven't written one. The amount is here?
Yes, that's the amount that's for the, written the check for.
All right. And then the amount's written out here, and then you mentioned a signature line. I'm sorry, a memo line. Is this the memo line?
Yes, that's the memo line.
Okay, and what does this memo line say on these checks?
On, I believe, all of them. Let me just look for a second. Almost all of them have a date range. There's a few that don't.
And would that date range be the pay period?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Looking at these Adelson Institute checks to Catherine Meg Vanwell, I have a couple of questions. When we're looking at the memo line for each, do the time ranges for the pay periods vary?
Yes.
They're not all for the same amount of days, in other words.
They're roughly around a 2 week period.
Are all of the checks for the same amount?
All except for the first one, which appears to be a 1 week pay period instead of two.
Okay.
It was $203.79, which is half of the $407.58.
And so for these red check marks, the red checks denote all of the checks that were for the same amount?
Yes.
Were some of the checks advanced pay?
They were.
And what does that mean?
That means that she actually would have received the check or deposited the check before the end of the pay period.
So the check is posted before the pay period on the memo line is complete?
Yes.
And were any of these checks sequential?
There were.
And what does that mean?
It means they were all the next in line check numbers, 25, 26, 27.
So going back to our picture of the checks, excuse me.
So
are these three checks sequential here?
They are.
Okay, so 24, 25, 26.
Yes.
We go back to where we were. Since they were sequential, were they dated? All at the same time, showing that they were written at all the same time?
No, they just have the sequential check numbers.
How many sequential checks did she receive in a row?
There was a total of 18 sequential checks. There's one set of three, another set of six, and another long set there.
Okay, so are these three checks sequential here that I'm pointing to?
Yes.
Okay. And then are these six checks sequential?
That's correct.
And then these first six check marks, were these sequential?
They were.
And then the final three here, checks that she received, are they sequential?
They are.
So this isn't nine sequential checks. It's a set of six sequential checks and then another set of three sequential.
That's correct.
Okay. We talked about the ones that were sequential. Are there also a lot of the checks that are not sequential?
Yes.
And if they are not sequential, does that mean that those checks appear to have been written in the normal course of payroll?
That would appear so.
So when you're looking at the records, she may be check 1,000 and then another employee, a hygienist, might be check 1,001. Harvey Adelson might be check 1,002. And a front desk employee might be checked 1,003.
That's correct.
And are the ones that are not sequential, do they not have a check mark in the summary in the sequential column?
That's correct.
For this last column, Catherine Meg Vanwell, known schedule. You said earlier that except for the first check, they were all the same amount, all 44. We know that she received a breast augmentation surgery in October of 2014. Was she receiving checks at that time in October 2014? Was Meg Banwell receiving checks?
She was.
Was there any disruption in her paychecks from Adelson Institute during that time to reflect needing time off from a major surgery?
No, there was not.
After her surgery, was there any decrease in the amount she received from Adelson Institute that might reflect her being off or having a reduction in pay?
No.
Does the the date range in the memo section appear to be every 8 to 10 days, kind of like the other ones do?
Yes.
During that time. Now, what about the time of her trip? We saw she went to Santo Domingo on March 22nd of 2015.
There's no reduction in her pay.
So nothing to reflect time off for going to another country during that time?
No.
No decrease in the amount she received for him having paid for it?
That's correct, no decrease.
What other records did you receive with respect to Catherine McVanwell's employment at Adelson Institute?
There was a subpoena that was issued for any and all employment records, and what we received back was a simple QuickBooks summary that you see there.
So this is the QuickBooks summary here?
Yes, that's correct.
Did the subpoena ask for any and all records of her employment from Adelson Institute?
It did.
Did the records, did they come with an employment application or timesheets or W-2s or tax filing records, performance evaluations, anything like that?
No.
A job description?
No.
Just this QuickBooks sheet?
That's correct.
What time period does this sheet cover?
This covers from the September 18, 2014 to March 31st of 2016.
In your time doing forensic accounting, have you seen subpoenas for any and all employment records?
I have.
When a person has been employed with a business for 2 years, do you usually see some of those things I just listed out?
Yes.
Okay. So it was it a surprise to you to just receive this QuickBooks printout?
Yes.
What was the date of the last check according to Adelson Institute's QuickBooks records that they handed over to law enforcement when they received the subpoena?
It's at the top, March 31st, 2016.
Okay, so according to their records, the last payment they made to her was on 3/31 of 2016.
That's correct.
When you looked at Catherine Banwell's account, were there any additional checks after March 31st of 2016 that were paid to her by Adelson Institute?
Yes, there were three additional checks that did not show up on the QuickBooks records.
Looking at this graph, is this the 3/31/16 check that was dated and posted the same day?
Yes.
And so these would be the three checks that were deposited after March 31st?
Yes.
Does the date, do these three dates reflect the dates on those checks? Written?
Yes.
Written. And these would be the dates that Meg Banwell posted into her account?
That's correct.
And the date range appears that her working period there were these three lines?
That's right.
Was the last check deposited into her bank account dated on May 12, 2016, and posted on May 17th of 2016?
Yes.
If Garcia was arrested on May 25th of 2016, and the last check to Meg Banwell was May 12th, did it appear that she did not receive any checks, according to her records, after he was arrested on May 25th?
That's correct.
What was the total net amount received by Meg Banwell from Adelson Institute from September 2014 to May 2016?
The net amount that went into her account was $17,729.73.
Okay. I want to ask you a little bit more about this timing. Are you familiar with what law enforcement called the bump on April 19th of 2016?
I am.
All right. Looking at these last three checks that were deposited into her account, Was there evidence of a check later than those in sequence that was actually posted to the bank account before the bump on April 19th of 2016?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the check here to Harvey Adelson on April 4th?
That's correct.
And that would have been before the bump?
It would.
But after in sequence of my Banalis checks?
Yes.
So is it possible, given the sequence, that Donna Adelson stopped writing my Banalis checks after she was approached by the agent during the bump?
It appears that way.
Looking at Meg Banalis' income from 2013, how much cash did she deposit into her bank account for that year, the year before the murder of Dan Markell?
$13,035.
Looking at 2014, the year that Dan Markell was murdered, how much cash did she deposit into her account that year?
$46,820.
And were cash deposits the largest or the highest source of income for her that year?
It was.
And is that depicted here by the red part of the pie graph?
It is.
How much income, or how much percentage of her income did she receive from Adelson Institute that year?
4%.
Okay, and that's depicted by the yellow portion of the pie chart?
It is.
And that was the year that she started receiving paychecks. The first one posted to her account was in the beginning of October.
Correct.
Okay, and then she received them every 2 weeks after that for the rest of the year. Is that right?
That's right.
Combined with Adelson Institute, was 68% of her income from either Adelson Institute or cash deposits that year?
Yes.
Moving on to 2015, the year after Dan Markell's murder, what was the total amount of cash deposits for that year?
$26,523.77.
Was that about 51% of her income?
It is.
Was about 20% of her total income from Adelson Institute that year at a little over $10,000?
Yes.
And a little over $5,000 at 10% of her income was her income from Dr. Obed's dermatology practice?
It was.
Okay. And he was Charlie Adelson's roommate?
That's right. They were good friends.
Okay. So about 81% of her total income was from Adelson Institute cash or an Adelson friend, Dr. Obed, that year?
Yes.
Looking at 2016, how does the amount of cash she deposited that year, this is now 2 years after the murder of Dan Markell and the year that the bump took place in April, the first part of that year, mm-hmm. How does her cash deposits compare that year to the two previous years?
It's $11,921.33.
So significantly less?
Yes.
And same for Adelson Institute. She stopped receiving checks in April or May of that year, according to her bank account?
That's right.
What do we see here?
So this is a visual depiction of the cash that went into her accounts by year.
And did you track every single one of her cash deposits from 2013 to 2016?
I did.
Which year, looking at 2013 to 2016, had the most cash deposits?
The year of the murder, 2014.
Was 2014 about three times as much as the prior year?
Yes.
And about twice as much as the next year?
Yes.
What do the graphs at the bottom represent?
It's just another visual depiction, a circular graph of the cash.
How much the cash was a percentage of her total income?
Yes.
How much of a percentage of her total income
yes.
the cash was? Thank you. And it was the highest source of her income in 2014 and 2015?
Yes.
What do we see here?
This is adding on the other, the Adelson Institute checks that are in the yellow highlights, and then Dr. Obed, his roommate, was in the purple.
Showing the total amounts from all those sources, and then the percentage of her income all of those sources were.
Yes.
You said that 2014 was the year that Meg Banalis had the most amount of cash deposited into her account. What does this graph depict?
So this is a line graph showing the level of cash for each month, and then they're connected, the dots are connected by a line for you to have the visual representation.
and was the month in 2014 that she had the most cash deposited into her account August?
It was.
The month after Dan Martell was murdered?
Yes.
And the second and third highest month, October and July?
That's right.
That would be the same month that she started receiving income from Adelson Institute and the same month as her breast augmentation in October for number two?
Yes.
And number three being the month of the murder of Dan Martell?
Yes.
When you compared 2014 to the amount of cash you received in all 3 years, were those 3 months still the highest amount of cash she received in all 3 years?
Yes.
August, October, and July of 2014?
That's correct.
Okay, so this is all of the cash she received depicted by the bar graph for all 3 years?
It is.
What do we see here?
So this is a composite graph showing both her employment, that are the horizontal bars that show her employment, and that line graph showing the cash deposits that went into her account. Just represents that she was receiving cash when she was not being employed.
Okay. So these bars are the employment chart that we already saw, right?
Yes.
The red is all of the cash she received throughout those 3 years.
Yes.
Okay, and then is this black line the date of the murder of Dan Martell?
It is.
And this other black line the date of the bomb?
That's right.
What was the amount of cash deposits in the year before Dan Martell's murder for Catherine McBanois?
The year before was $15,600.
And what were the total cash deposits in the 12 months after the murder?
12 months after was $44,963.
So about three times as much as the year before?
Yes.
What is this cash spike?
The cash spike was August, $13,200.
And that was the most cash she received?
All in 1 month, yes.
Is there any record of her being employed when she had that cash spike in August of 2014?
No.
And how much did she deposit in the 6 weeks after Martell's murder?
She deposited $17,300.
And that was during a time when there's no record of employment. There's a break in these bar graphs.
That's correct.
And the next bar graph is her income from Adelson Institute.
It is.
And then the month after that is the breast augmentation in October?
Yes.
Okay. You told us earlier that you analyzed Adelson Institute along with the bank account records of Donna Harvey, Charlie, and Wendy Adelson. Well, first I want to show you contract that's been shown to the defense for the purchase by Wendy Adelson of a home, I won't say the whole address, but on Whittendale Drive in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what date did she sign this to purchase this home?
October 24th, 2013.
Okay, so she signed the contract about a week before Halloween of 2013.
Yes.
Okay, and how much was the purchase price of this home?
It's listed as $371,000.
Did Wendy Adelson have the means in her account to pay for a down payment for this home on Whittendale?
Yes.
Would it have been a real financial stretch for her to do that, or was she able to do that comfortably?
Oh, she could do that comfortably, for sure.
Did each of these members of the Adelson family, and when I say members, I mean Donna Adelson, Harvey Adelson, Charlie Adelson, and Wendy Adelson, have the means in their respective accounts in 2013 to pay the $1 million bribe that was discussed in the messages?
Yes.
Did each of the members of the Adelson family have the means in their respective accounts in 2014 to pay the $140,000 given to Garcia, McBanois, and Rivera?
Yes.
Did Charlie Adelson have the means in his account to pay for all of the different benefits and gifts that he gave to or offered Catherine McBanois over the years from 2014 to 2016?
Yes.
And when I say means in their account, is that money that's available for withdrawal? I'm not talking about homes or properties or cars or other assets.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And would that amount, would those means obviously not include cash that is not deposited in any bank, right?
That's right.
We wouldn't know that amount.
Right.
Based on your review of Adelson Institute's records and messages in this case, did the Adelsons prefer to be paid in cash for their services at Adelson Institute, or did they prefer a credit card or check?
It appeared that they preferred cash.
Okay, were there lots of messages where they discuss giving discounts for cash, certain clients being willing to pay cash, and that being preferred?
Yes.
Are these just some of the examples?
Just some of them, yes.
Were there messages in the Adelson family's records where they discuss having cash and how they store their cash?
Yes.
I want to turn your attention to this text message we see here on the screen. Can you read these messages to us? And these are from 2011, but what I'm looking for here is the mentions of cash and how the cash is kept, if you could read those for us.
Okay. So the first block is from Donna. It says, "Good morning, Charlie. I need to take $25,000 from your office checkbook and put it in Dad's office checkbook in order to break even this month. Can we do that? Do you have enough money in your office account for us to write that check? If you do, then Dad will move $25,000 in cash in the safe into your pile. Please let me know as soon as possible so Dad can take care of it today. You can call, I am home, or text me, whatever is best for you. I love you, honey, Mom."
And he says, no problem?
He says, no problem.
Okay. So here, do they discuss having large amounts of cash and keeping it in piles in a safe?
Yes.
Were there other messages besides this one in the records where they discuss things, cash being in the safe or piles in the safe?
Yes.
Is this just one example?
Yes.
And as we talked about earlier, is it common for Donna Adelson to move money around between the Adelson family accounts?
Yes.
And does this safe appear to be at a place where Donna Adelson would have access to it or control of it?
The only answer based on your review of the records is locatable, Ms. Hall.
Could you restate the question?
From the messages here, does the safe appear to be in a place where Donna Adelson would have access to it or control of it?
Yes.
Just a second.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Quite a bit of testimony. I only have a few questions, okay?
Okay.
What credit card account statements did you review in your analysis for Donna and or Harvey Adelson?
I believe there was only two, an American Express and a Capital One.
Two different credit cards. An Amex and Capital One?
Yes, ma'am.
The car that you were referring to that had previously been in Harvey Adelson's name, that shows that Catherine Van Vanderwaal paid $1,700 for, you didn't find bank account transactions for that, but that could have been a cash transaction, correct?
That's correct.
And it was a 15-year-old car, right?
Yes.
And it had over 150,000 miles on it, right?
I'd have to look, but I think you're right.
Would you like to look?
Do you want me to be exact?
I want to make sure I'm not, I can't testify, so I need to make sure that you do.
Sure. The odometer was 17,058 miles.
Ma'am, I think that's the original last time it had been checked. The mileage at the time of the transfer would be down lower on the bottom.
It's either 140,000 or 160,000.
Okay, thank you. Now, we saw the slide where Charlie Adelson was talking about cash discounts for his travel periodontist work that he was doing for different dentists, correct?
Yes.
Are you aware from your analysis that the cash discount that was offered at Adelson Institute was simply the same amount as what they would be charged if someone used a credit card for the fee at 5%. So the difference in the discount was if you paid by cash or check, so there wasn't a credit card fee, they gave them a 5% reduction.
There was no explanation in the text messages to say why there was a discount for cash.
Okay. And you can't say what their deposits were in cash at Adelson Institute, correct?
I don't recall.
Okay. And you mentioned that sometime in 2016, Harvey for Adelson Institute, the business that we're discussing, became a manager in 2016, correct?
I believe you are correct, but I'll look at the date. Harvey becomes manager in July of 2016.
Okay, and you would agree with me that there's a difference between being a manager and being an owner, right?
Yes.
And it wasn't until 2020 that Harvey actually became the owner of the business again, according to the records that you reviewed, is that right?
That's correct.
Just one moment, please.
Wait, what?
Nothing further. Well, we left examination.
Yes, sir.
You may proceed.
Defense counsel asked if the cash discounts mentioned in the text messages were from Charlie's traveling periodontist work, but did the cash discounts, are those messages also sent from Adelson Institute employees here that you saw listed on Adelson Institute payroll?
It is.
The only other thing I had was on direct, you mentioned that Harvey Adelson was taken off as manager in 2012. He continued working there as a dentist. But then on October 2nd of 2015, he became manager again. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then in 2015, were Harvey and Charlie both managers?
That's correct.
Okay. In October of 2015?
Yes.
But then in 2016, July of 2016, only Harvey's a manager then at that point. Charlie has now dropped off to a registered agent.
That's right.
And these are on their articles of incorporation.
Yes.
Okay. They could still be both working there as dentists and have their own understanding of their role in the practice, but we're talking about what's listed on the articles of incorporation.
Right.
Okay. So it went from Harvey and Charlie both being managers in October of 2015, Magdalena still getting checks through the spring of 2016.
That's right.
And then after the arrest in 2016, Harvey Adelson becomes manager in July. Charlie is now a registered agent.
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
You know, step down. Will this witness be recalled?
I'm Leanne
Tuzel,
just remaining
in
the village
just
in case you can hold on
to one person. Well, he's in out the scales playing, and now it's the substance of the testimony. You must look down.
Thank you.
Your name, the jurors need to take a restroom break. The bailiff will take them to the jury then.
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson is coming up from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.